like to call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:30 p.m. on Friday, March 17th, 2017. Happy St. Patty's Day to everyone. We're gathered here today in room 205 in the Capitol Building. Please silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Today, committee members present are Senator Giesel, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Wilson. Senator Von Imhoff and Senator Machicki are excused today. Today, we plan to hear SB 83, Protect Vulnerable Adults Long-Term Care, by Senate Rules Committee on behalf of the governor. Presenting the bill today is Teresa Holt, the Long-Term Care Ombudsman for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. We would like to welcome the presenter to our table today to give an overview of the bill. And Ms. Holt, just remember to state your name for the record, your affiliation, and you may begin when ready.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Teresa Holt. I'm the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Thank you for hearing SB 83. A brief overview, if that's all right. I'll start with that. So SB 83 will amend the provisions of Alaska Statute 4762, which is the statute for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, and Alaska Statute 4724, which is the Protection of Vulnerable Adults, to ensure alignment with the Older Americans Act and its implementing regulations. In 2016, the Older Americans Act was reauthorized and regulations for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman were created. As a result, the Administration for Community Living reviewed all the ombudsman programs in every state to ensure compliance with these new ombudsman regulations. Through this review, these Alaska statutes were identified as being out of alignment with the reauthorized Older Americans Act and the ombudsman regulations. But regardless of this, our office feels like these are good changes for our program and will help us be more resident-centered, and we would have recommended them anyway. Briefly, this bill aligns state statutes with federal statutes and regulations to ensure the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman only shares resident information with informed consent, to ensure that the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman can obtain records and investigate and make referrals when a resident is unable to provide informed consent and has no resident representative who can do that on their behalf. It also adds a new term, which comes from the ombudsman regulations, for resident and resident representative. It also, due to a conflict of interest, removes the option for mandatory reporters to meet reporting requirements by submitting the report to the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. It clarifies a separation of the role for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman and the role of the Department of Health and Social Services. It also clarifies that the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman may serve residents in long-term care facilities under the age of 60. Should I go through the sectional analysis?
Take a brief at ease. Back on record. Ms. Holt, please proceed with the sectional.
Okay. Section 1 and 2 are technical amendments that update the name of the entity responsible for receiving reports for vulnerable adults. Section 1 also adds a statutory reference for the definition of mental health professional. Section 3 removes the requirement for DHS to forward all reports for individuals over the age of 60 to the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman for investigation, while adding passive language to allow DHSS to forward these reports as necessary. Section 4 clarifies that DHSS is responsible to investigate all reports of vulnerable adults. Section 5 removes the obligation for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to share reports with DHSS agencies without consent. Section 6 removes DHS requirement to do a face-to-face interview for each report regarding a vulnerable adult. Sections 7 and 8 align the state language with the Older Americans Act, providing the authority for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to respond to complaints of adults under the age of 60 living in long-term care facilities. Section 9, Part A, ensures the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman has access to all residents in long-term care facilities. Part B allows the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to obtain records with the consent of the resident representative, by subpoena or court order. Section 10 allows the state long-term care ombudsman, in certain circumstances, to share resident information with other agencies when a resident is unable to provide consent and has no representative to provide consent. Section 11 is amended to include residents of all ages who live in long-term care facilities. Section 12 changes the definition for older Alaskans and adds the definition for resident and resident representative. Section 13 repeals three sections. Alaska Statute 47.24.010F. To eliminate the requirement for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to receive mandatory reports of harm. Alaska Statute 47.24.013C3, to eliminate the requirement for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to share its reports with other agencies without consent. Repeal is Alaska Statute 47.24013E, which eliminates the requirement for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman to substantiate reports of harm on behalf of DHSS. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Ms. Holt. In Section 10, can you explain that one more time? If they don't have representation or someone to assist.
Right. So we often deal with elders who are unable to provide informed consent, maybe due to dementia or some other kind of cognitive difficulties. And if they do not have a resident representative, someone, either a guardian, power of attorney, surrogate decision maker, someone to make decisions on their behalf, then there's four conditions that we have to meet. One is that it has to, whatever we're looking at, has to affect their health, safety, or welfare, or rights. That there's reasonable cause to believe it's in their best interest that we take action. That all these situations go through me personally, and I look at each situation to make sure it's all according to how it should be. And then there's no evidence that the resident would disagree with the referral. And in that situation, we're able to make a referral, say, to, if it was a situation of abuse, we might be able to make a referral to the police, adult protective services, licensing, elder fraud, those type of situations.
Okay. And that's fine. All right, thank you. Any other questions from Senator Bagich?
I have a couple of questions for you, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. And thanks for working with my staff, Richard Benavides, and helping us understand how many beds we have in the district and that kind of thing. One of the notes from our examination of the 300 beds in District J was that about 168 of those were had seniors in them, and the rest did not or were vacant. Under Sections 4, 8, 9, and 11, you'll now have the you'll now be required to look below the age of 60, and yet the fiscal notes are all zero fiscal notes. So this is adding what appears to be a burden to what you do now, but there's no additional cost to those potential other investigations. That could be as many as 132 potential new clients in my district alone. Mm-hmm. So how do we get to a zero fiscal note with that?
So, as I said, these changes here come from the Ombudsman statute, Ombudsman regulations, and the reauthorization of the Older Americans Act. Since the Ombudsman offices had started, the Older Americans Act specified that it was older residents in long-term care facilities. Mm-hmm. During the reauthorization, they changed that to say residents in long-term care facilities. So I also had the same concern. I called up immediately and said, does this mean we have to expand the scope of our practice, or not the scope of our practice, but the number of facilities that we visit? And she said, no, it's it allows you to do that, but you are not required to expand. So the situations that were coming up would be an ombudsman would go to, a nursing home, and there might be somebody there who's 55. And our age was 60 and older. You know, would we just walk away from somebody who said, hey, I'm having an issue, I need help? Well, you're only 55, we can't do that. So in addition to getting that answer from them, in our policies and procedures, we have set out a priority response. So seniors who live in senior licensed facilities, seniors who live in there's other licensed facilities, so mental health and developmental disability facilities, and abuse and neglect are the top complaints that we would respond to. And then if we had time and staff, which we don't, because it really would be going from 200 homes to 600 homes.
Please follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I get what you're saying. Let me repeat it back to you and tell me if I'm right or not. So you don't anticipate that this creates any new burden because you're not required to do that, you're just able to do it, and that presently you're in a position where you would likely have taken on another resident's issue had they brought one up to you anyway. So it's not an additional burden, it's just a clarification to meet the conditions of the current federal authorized Older Persons Act. Is that correct?
Senator Begich, through the chair, yes.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Ms. Holt, for giving that overview. At this time, we'll open public testimony on SB 83. And is anyone online? Does anyone in the audience here in Juneau like to testify on? Right. We also have questions from the Department of Law is in the room. We have program officer from the Mental Health Trust Authority. We have the Alaska Commission on Aging also in the room for questions. And the Division Operational Manager for Disability Senior Leadership is also in the room if anyone had any questions for those individuals about this bill. All right. Well, seeing none, we'll close public testimony on SB 83. This time, we're going to hold this bill over and take it up again. I believe there's some changes, some technical errors just to correct in this bill before it moves out of committee. And we'll get those to committee members when those changes do occur for their review. And with that, we'll conclude our business of our Health and Social Services Committee today. Are there any closing members? Any closing comments for members? Hearing none. On Monday of next week, we'll hear again from the Alaska Citizens Review Panel, and then we'll also look to review if we get the changes back for SB 83, which we discussed today. Well, on Wednesday, we'll hear from Christy Lawton, the Director of Health and Social Services, Office of Children's Services. She'll provide an update, a brief overview of the department's mission and the new initiatives, and respond to any issues or questions we may have from the panel on the Alaska Citizens Review Panel from Monday's presentation. With that, thank you guys for attending on this wonderful day here in Juneau. We will adjourn at 1:47 p.m.